Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis in chapter 12. Going to get right in it this morning. I'll try not to preach long. I don't like heat. I know some of you don't like heat. I hate it even worse. In fact, all of a sudden I'm in a bad mood just thinking about the heat. I'm a youper right to the bone, born and raised up here, and I got for the days of the blustery snow and the horizontal wind, and oh, for those days again. Okay, listen up now. It's great to be free. It's great to be an American this morning. I just love the opportunity of life. The word independence, the word freedom. I love all that goes along with it. And I just want to share a couple of things by way of introduction very quickly. Genesis in chapter 12, there's a great nation in this world. Its name is Israel. They were promised of God. Abraham's descendants were promised of God to be blessed. And I want you to know the big reason America has been blessed is America has always been a friend to Israel. We've always been there. They're the only democracy in that part of the world. And God is blessed. I know Israel doesn't do a lot of things right now. I understand that. And they're a secular nation. But God isn't done with Israel. And there's coming a time of great tribulation. The Bible calls it Jacob's trouble, Jacob's sorrow. After the church is gone from this earth, God is going to deal with Israel and bring Israel back to God. There'll be 144,000 gospel-preaching Jewish evangelists during that time. You can read about them in the book of Revelation, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. It's going to be a great time of soul harvest. The Bible tells us in Genesis in chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." That's Israel. "And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And I guess so, the Messiah came by way of Israel. "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So we need to side with Israel and pray for Israel and try to be a blessing to Israel. And there are Messianic Jews. There are Jews that are genuinely born again. And those over there, there are New Testament churches in Israel. Although they be few, they are there. And understand this, the day will come after the rapture, Israel is going to pick up the gospel ball. And they're going to carry the news. And they're gonna be martyred, many of them, for their faith. But they'll stand for God. Israel's a great nation. There's another great nation. And it's a spiritual nation. It's destined for the skies. I'm talking about the church. I don't mean four walls. I don't mean plaster and mortar and block. That's not what I'm talking about. Church pews. No. The church is made up of all those that are born again. They're blood bought. They've received Jesus Christ as their Savior. The church, the body of church, and been baptized. And the body of church of Christ is everybody that's been born again from Pentecost until the sound of the rapture when the trumpet sounds. That nation is destined for the skies. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter very, very quickly. We're just going to touch it this morning. 1 Peter. Peter and chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people." That's us. "But are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I am a member of the family of God because of the mercy of God. It's all of grace. He's done all the works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. The Bible is crystal clear on that. If anybody is going to get to God's heaven, if anybody's going to be part of this family of God, this spiritual nation that's destined for the skies, the church of Jesus Christ, they need to come by way of the cross. There needs to be a time in your life where you bow your heart before God and you cry out to him. It may be in the woods, it could be at a church altar, but you cry out to him, maybe at a hospital bed. You cry out and say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. And I understand your son died on the old rugged cross and he died in my place that I might have eternal life. Would you please forgive me? Come into my heart and be my Savior. And at that moment, you're regenerated. You are what Jesus called born again. You become a member of the family of God. And as dark as the day gets, as dark as our culture gets, one day soon the trumpet of God is going to sound and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. A nation that's destined for the skies. I want to preach about America this morning. America is a nation that has known God's blessing in many, many ways. Take your Bibles and turn to John in chapter 6. John in chapter 6. Every once in a while I still hear it, not often, but I hear, oh, America was never a Christian nation. I laugh. I say, are you kidding me? Look at our monuments. Read what our forefathers said. Read the writings of the Supreme Court, the early courts. Listen to what our presidents have said in days gone by. America is blessed of God. It's a great land with bountiful blessings. But it all started with people coming from the old country and bringing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And America honored the word of God. Therefore, America knew God's blessings. It was 1812, the War of 1812. It was September the 13th. And the year was actually 1814, right towards the end of the war. America was at war with Britain. There were some trade disagreements. The British invaded our country. They invaded Washington, D.C. They burnt down the White House. These were desperate days. At Fort McHenry, through the course of the battle, American prisoners were taken. And they were held in the cargo holds in the bottoms of the ships, the British ships, in the harbor. The Americans needed some more. Well, they were running out of men. There was a Baltimore lawyer by the name of Francis Scott Key who rode out on an appointed night and met with the admiral and negotiated, and they agreed to exchange prisoners. Then the admiral got a message, and a bombardment started with cannon fire on Fort McHenry. Key said, you can't fire on that fort. Right now it's filled with women and children. And the cannon fire went on. The admiral got another message from another boat, and he called for Francis Scott Key to come, and Key met him up on deck and said, we'll honor our agreement, and tomorrow we'll set these prisoners free, but it's all academic. Key said, what do you mean? He said, you see the lights in the distance and the ocean? He said, that, Mr. Key, is the entire British war fleet. It'll be here by nightfall. And our guns have been told to bring that flag down. Those colors that your people think so much of, if they'll just lower them, then we'll know you've surrendered. You'll be under British rule, and these men would have been free anyway. On into the night, the bombardment lasted. In fact, the totality of it was 24 hours. After a while, the admiral said to Mr. Key, he says, there's something we don't understand. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flagpole, that rampart, has been hit directly, repeatedly, again and again. And yet it's still flying. But it doesn't matter. Every gun has now been instructed to bring that flag down with cannon fire. On into the night, the cannons fired. Mr. Key would shout down to the prisoners down in the bottom of the ships. The flag's still standing. The men were praying. Finally, the cannon stopped. And there was a haze over the land. And at first light, Francis Scott Key strained his eyes to see whether Old Glory was still flying. And the flagpole itself was leaning off to the side. Mr. Key got in a boat right away and rowed to shore to find out what had happened in that fort. He found that the flagpole itself was leaning off to the side, and the flag itself was completely nondescript. It had been hit so many times. But he said what carried, what held that flagpole up at that angle were Patriots' dead bodies. During the night, when that flag was hit and fell to the ground, men, fathers, husbands, ran and held the flag physically. And when they died, others took their place. First time I told that story was way back in the late 70s. I was at a revival meeting. And an English professor from, I believe, Michigan State came up to me afterwards and said, I want you to know I'm a professor of history, not English, professor of history. And the way you told that story, that's exactly what happened. Why aren't those stories told today? Why is it everything is just, everybody's just cowering in the corners? We have freedom today because a great price was paid for that freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of public assembly, freedom of religion, the right to bear arms. I can raise my family and worship my God because of the freedom we have. I can fly my flag and salute it because a great price has been paid for that freedom. I can go to parades and hear patriotic music. I can picnic with my family safely. I can preach the Bible on the radio, the old-time religion, because of the freedom that we have presently in America. The Minutemen of the colonies, a young general named George Washington at Valley Forge, the War of 1812, the Alamo, the field of Gettysburg ran red with blood, the European theater, the battles over the skies of London, the Pacific naval battles, the mountains of Korea, the jungles of Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, the War on Terror, Navy SEAL Team 6, and it goes on and on and on. Patriots paid a great price for the freedoms that we enjoy. And I believe that we are at the end of the church age, and Jesus is coming very soon. That sounds very foreign to some people. I know people that haven't read their Bible and don't understand the scriptures and eschatology and all that's going on. But everything's happened just like Jesus said. Everything. And here we are right at the end of the church age, the 2,000 years. We're right at the very end, maybe the final hours and moments. And the trumpet of God is going to sound. I mean, things are changing. They're changing fast. Maybe I don't need to tell you this, but I want to say it again this morning. This isn't Grandpa's America anymore. Things have changed drastically. And I don't know that a change in the White House is going to change anything. You know, because we need God. Amen. We need another great awakening. Amen. America has been great because America's God is great. Amen. And we need a kneel at the altar kind of Bible preaching, old time religion again. There's so much of, I need to say, and I've left my outline, but I know this, there are some absolutes. I know that this book is the very word of God. No matter what man says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. And you know how I know about God? This book. My God wrote a book, and we have a copy of it, and we got to get back to the book. I also understand and know this, that it's the truth that is going to set us free and nothing else. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I know there's only one way to heaven. I sat in my uncle's living room yesterday and we rehearsed all of this together, and he'd already come to this conclusion. He'd already received Christ as his Savior. And I said, man, Uncle Royce, I want to know for sure. I know others want to know for sure. You know you're saved. He said, absolutely. And he told me about his salvation. And there's only one way to heaven. I don't care what kind of label you've got. It doesn't matter what kind of church you go to. None of that's going to gain you entrance into heaven. You need Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think I said this in Sunday school, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. It doesn't matter if Uncle Billy was a preacher. You need to get born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. There's no, cannot see it. Not even going to make it. Not even close. It's all of Jesus. And if you're here this morning or listening to a broadcast and you're not born again, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only one that died on the cross and made the blood atonement. He shed his blood and fulfilled all those Old Testament prophecies. And then he went to the grave and he rose again on the third day. He conquered death. Man, I'm free. I don't fear the grave. I don't fear death. I'm free. 3 points here real quickly. There's the freedom from sin. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 18. I'll make this very quickly. Turn in your Bibles to Romans in chapter 6. Romans and chapter 6. And we're just going to look at maybe 3 verses total in totality. So you need to hang with me here this morning. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 18. Being then made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. Free from sin. Look at verse 18 or verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and unto the end everlasting life. I'll let you in on a little secret, just in case you're new here and fairly new and you don't know this. And we're growing, man. We're seeing people come to Christ, and it's hard to keep up with everybody's names. It really is. But I'll let you in a little secret, just in case you haven't figured it out. You haven't been coming here long enough to know this. You will eventually figure it out, but I'm going to tell you ahead of time. It may shock you. I'm not perfect. I knew that would shock you. Some of you are in awe right now. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I still have sin. I still live in my mortal body. One day this body is going to be resurrected. I look forward to that day. And then I'll have my glorified body. But in the meantime, this is a 59-year-old sinner here. I still have my mortal body. And although I've got the new nature now because the Holy Spirit lives within me, that happens when you get born again, I still got the old Tim Raider. And I face him every single day. But I'm free from the power of sin. I don't have to sin. I only sin because I want to. I only sin because I choose to. And the truth is, if I just honor God, I am free from the power of sin. I don't have to be a drunkard. I don't have to be a slave to alcohol or drugs. I don't have to live a weak, defeated life sucking on some little stick of nicotine. By the way, if you're a smoker, you know, you're not smoking. You know that, don't you? It's the cigarette that smokes. You're the sucker that's on the end. No, you remember that, right? And there's all kinds of sins. Cigarette smoking, that's easy to preach against. I know that. But we've all sinned, every single one of us. I don't have to be controlled by an uncontrolled spirit. Man, sin no more has dominion over me. That's what the scripture says. You talk about freedom. Man, I'm the guy that loves parades. I'm the guy that loves Old Glory passing by. I love marching bands. There are no more patriotic men anywhere. I hear a story or read of somebody that gets a Medal of Honor or a Purple Heart. Man, I swell up with tears. You know, I actually think maybe I missed something by not being in the military. And I probably did, but I'm in God's army now. You know, and the truth is, I am free. I am free from the power of sin. I'm free from death. Look at Romans in chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The hounds of hell nip at the heels of us all. If you're born again, apart from the trumpet sounding and the rapture of the church, we are all going the way of Adam. We'll all make that final trip to the cemetery. We won't. We'll be with the Lord. You know, if we're born again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we're all going by way of the grave, except that the rapture comes first. But you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the grave. Some people, they spend their whole life afraid to die, and they think that's living. Man, that's not it. Jesus came to set sinners free. Jesus came to make dead men alive, free from the power of the grave. Freedom's great. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. The freedom, listen to me if you're already born again, the freedom to do right. Look at verse 4. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We could go on. I could read all kinds of verses. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, we're more than conquerors. And I have the freedom to do right. A love for country, that's noble. That's good. A love for God, that's great. I can attend church. Heard some good preaching on that this morning, the early service. I get to support the work of God. I'm not preaching to unsaved people here. I'm visitors. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to people of Fundamental Baptist Church. You're born again. You've been baptized. You follow the Lord in the waters of baptism after salvation. You're a part of Fundamental Baptist Church. You get to support it. That's a privilege. It's part of my worship. And don't play money games with God. Forget that. You're not fooling God. I don't know that this is going on, but I'm just going to throw this out there. It just came to my mind last week. If you're sending your kids to Maplewood and you think your tuition over there is your tithe, that's not your tithe. No how, no way. You're getting something for that. No way. Don't try to outthink God. That ain't going to work. You worship God. I get to give God something every Sunday. I'm preaching to Christians. I'm preaching to the choir. I get to give God something every Sunday. Later on when the plate is passed, man, I get to give back the tithe that God has entrusted to me. And in love offering on top, I get to do that. I'm not all tied up in this world. I have the freedom. I get to attend church. I can influence and bring others to Jesus Christ. I can help a brother that's downtrodden and hurting. I have the freedom to do right. It's great to be an American. It's great to be a Christian. It's great to be free. I kind of sit over here in my own little corner of the world and I think, I don't know, Brother Shahadi, you think that way down in Dayton or not, but this is the way I think. You know what? I'm the real American. I am an independent Baptist Christian. I'm not part of a denomination. I'm the real. You talk about freedom, I know what freedom is. There's no hierarchy anywhere telling us any. There's no state headquarters telling us what to do. We are independent Baptists. I love freedom. America's freedoms are just built for the independent Baptist movement. It is. And we're not about building. I'm not about building a movement. You understand that? We're not building any kind of denomination. And being an independent Baptist isn't going to get you to heaven. You need Jesus Christ. But I just love the freedoms that we have. Freedom. What a wonderful word. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. Freedom. My brother and sister, we are losing our freedoms. We may not always have the opportunity to preach in public like we do, or to pass out tracts at Walmart. Do it now. The harvest is white unto harvest. That's what Jesus said. If you're here this morning and you're not born again, this message is pretty simple. It's a call to salvation. Anybody who's not born again, I'm not better than you. These men aren't better than me. They're not better than you. We're all sinners. That's why Jesus came. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. The answer is Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. It's a call to salvation. It's a call to patriotism. America needs revival. Fundamental Baptist Church, man, we got it spilling all over us here. It's been going on for a couple months now. Don't let it die. Get closer to God.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.